used as a tool to mobilize at grassroots level and demonstrate support for the Palestinians on a global scale. VOC News gauges the voices of various civil society groups and activities as we observe Israeli Apartheid Week from the 21st to the 30th of March. This year, Israeli Apartheid Week marks a pivotal time as South Africa faces global pressure, particularly from the US, known to be a direct ally in fueling the ongoing Israeli offensive in Gaza. Kindly note that the brands mentioned in this feature are not for marketing purposes, but to educate and inform a given audience. One of the spokespeople for Conscious Consumers for Palestine, Kubra Peters, a group that focuses on encouraging boycotting Israeli and Zionist-affiliated brands and providing safe, ethical alternatives, tell VOC News that the group's main goal during Israeli Apartheid Week is to reach more hearts and minds. She stresses that the importance of purchasing mindfully and supporting local businesses instead of corporate brands that fuel genocide is of utmost importance.
We find that there are still far too many people in Cape Town who are purchasing brands that support the genocide of Palestinians. And we know that some are doing it unknowingly, which is why we would like to educate our community. But unfortunately, there are others who are doing it knowingly. And so our goal is to reach the hearts who are willing to make the change and encourage them to join the movement. Because boycotting has real power, and supporting local small businesses and empowering them can ensure that we never have to rely on big corporations who seek to oppress and harm us. And it's important to educate consumers on their purchase choices, because ultimately the brands that support the Israeli occupation are also the brands who operate in unethical ways. The unethical practices extend beyond the unjust causes that they support. It includes how they treat their employees and also what harmful ingredients they put into their products that we consume and put onto our skins. There are many people who feel like they're not doing enough, who feel that protesting is not enough, that they're not seeing enough change. So boycotting is one tangible thing that we can all do together that can have a significant impact, not only on what's happening beyond our borders, but also on the current economic climate that we find ourselves in. By no longer putting our money into the hands of those who want to oppress us and others like us, we take back our power, not only our buying power, but also taking care of our health and our communities by supporting those who run their businesses with good morals and ethics on a local scale.
Peters advises on platforms that inform and educate the public on the boycotted products and brands for those who may still be confused or unaware.
I'm sure many viewers know there's an official BDS campaign. Here in South Africa, we encourage viewers to follow Boycott Apartheid ZA on Instagram for those who have the platform. If you join our WhatsApp group, we also share their list there. And then on their page, they have a user-friendly infographic that shows three tiers highlighting the brands that we need to boycott. The first tier focuses on brands from the global BDS campaign and includes places like McDonald's, Cape Union Mart, Poetry, K-Way, Starbucks, SodaStream, and many more. The second tier includes both globally targeted as well as businesses in South Africa that support Israel, and this includes brands such as Coca-Cola. And here I need to stress that it includes all Coca-Cola products such as Sprite, Spalletta, Bon Aqua, Cappy Juice. There are many. It's important that we check the labels, and if it's a Coke product, we put it back and we choose an alternative like Kingsley, which is a good alternative. Of course, Nestle is another big brand, and again, there are many brands that fall or many products that fall under Nestle, so please check who the manufacturers are. And I need to urge our community that we don't need Nestle caramel or condensed milk or chocolates for our desserts this Eid. There are good alternatives out there. And then Pepsi and all Pepsi-affiliated products are also on the second tier list. And there's also Dis-Chem, KFC, and several other brands that we need to steer clear from. On the third tier, there's a non-exhaustive list of global brands that have shown support to the occupying state, such as Adidas, Burger King, Cadbury, Krispy Kreme, L'Oreal, and many more. So what we suggest is a targeted approach, using especially those first two tiers and then moving on to the third. And so the mitigation strategies include the existence of groups like ours and Boycott Apartheid ZA, who are able to educate and highlight which brands to boycott. And then, of course, our group takes it a step further by providing verified alternatives from small local businesses that we all can uplift and support. Then other measures include the use of apps like the No Thanks app and the Boycat app. While you do your shopping, you can use those, and that can guide you to make better, more conscious choices when you are buying your groceries and things. And then finally, through joining groups like ours, through putting up posters, reminders on radio stations, educating via social media, and as individuals, just approaching people in store. And if you see them picking up a tin of Nestlé condensed milk or caramel or a bottle of Coke, encourage them in a respectful manner to choose the alternative instead. Please, it is incumbent on us to boycott. If we don't, we are directly funding and supporting the occupation and the genocide.
Should listeners wish to find out more about boycotted brands with the necessary alternatives, feel free to contact Conscious Consumers for Palestine on 082-082-6092. You will be added to the WhatsApp group where information about boycotted products will be shared. Furthermore, executive member of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, Martin Jansen, explains why we should observe and exercise cognizance of Israeli Apartheid Week.
It was a way of keeping the Palestine issue on the agenda of people all over the world when we know that the mainstream media tended to suppress Palestine's liberation struggle and portray it in a negative light. And conversely, they always tended to favor Israel in the mass media. And this was our way of countering that and showing the truth and exposing Israel's atrocities. In the past 2 years, I would say it has had very, very special significance. The issue of Palestine is squarely on the global agenda, largely because of the intensification of Israel's genocide against the native Palestinian people. So it's even more important this year. We still have a problem in our country and internationally. The mainstream media still dominates the narrative. And unfortunately, the majority of people, especially in South Africa, are still not sufficiently clued up about Palestine, because our main broadcasters, like the SABC, which is supposed to be a public broadcaster, doesn't adequately tell the truth about Palestine and Israel. And most people are still duped by biblical myths that are promoted by several churches. We have a phenomenon of Zionist Christianity in this country. And unfortunately, that distorts the reality of Palestine and the genocide that's unfolding.
Jansen further shared his perspective and thoughts on the expulsion of South Africa's ambassador, Ibrahim Rasool. This comes as critics and analysts say Rasool was vocal and upfront about South Africa's stance on Palestine, something that the Trump administration was not welcoming of. According to Martin, the move signifies a positive development for South Africa. He expands on the current geopolitical dynamic between South Africa and the US.
Recently, our ambassador, Ibrahim Rasool, was effectively expelled from the US. Persona non grata, he was declared. And it's quite significant. It's the Trump regime that did so. And it's interesting, in some ways, it's a positive development for us, even though many people would feel that we're going to lose business and trade with the US. It's a very, very positive political development because it puts the politics of the US squarely on the agenda of the country, of the people of South Africa, and in fact, the world. It exposes US imperialism and its intentions and its support for the genocide in Palestine. So there can be no arguments about where the US stands and its support for Israel. And what that means then is we are in effect politically under attack, and the country needs to defend itself. For many, many years, our government has tended to play it both ways in global politics. On the one hand, you know, if you just listen to Fikile Mbalula recently, very anti-colonial, anti-imperialist article and speeches and so on. But on the other hand, the president calls for calm and not to oppose the US strongly. Basically, supposedly, in the national interest, which means in the interest of business and the economy, which doesn't benefit the majority of people in this country. It is true that if we lose US business and investment, there could be job losses. But as many critics have said, it is now time for us, South Africans and Africans, to invest in ourselves rather than rely on foreign investors who manipulate our politics, our socioeconomic conditions, to suit themselves.
Meanwhile, the Palestinian media reported that Israeli occupation forces blew up the Turkish Friendship Hospital in central Gaza last week, the only hospital available for treatment of cancer patients in the enclave. This comes as the remaining hospitals in Gaza operate at minimal capacity, overwhelmed with the number of casualties daily. Speaking to VOC News, Healthcare Workers for Palestine's Nazrina Hassim, a physiotherapist, elaborates on how Israeli apartheid dismantles ignorance and disinformation and expresses condemnation towards the destruction of the healthcare system in Palestine.
Israeli Apartheid Week serves as a global platform to raise awareness about the systemic injustices faced by Palestinians. The recent destruction of the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital in Gaza by Israeli forces underscores the urgency of such initiatives. This hospital, which was Gaza's sole specialized cancer treatment facility, was demolished amid ongoing military operations, depriving thousands of patients of critical care. The international community has widely condemned the attack, with the United Nations denouncing the destruction, emphasizing that attacks on medical infrastructure violate international humanitarian law. In this context, Israeli Apartheid Week becomes even more significant. It amplifies the voices highlighting the humanitarian crises resulting from the Israeli occupation and mobilizes global solidarity to address these pressing issues. Israeli Apartheid Week is crucial to counter the Israeli propaganda and disinformation spread by mainstream media. The general public is generally unaware of the extent of the war crimes and the crimes against humanity in Israel, and have only just recently found out about Israel's practice of apartheid and long-standing ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. Education is necessary in order to advocate for the victims of human rights violations. Like all healthcare workers, we are shocked and horrified at the scale of destruction of the healthcare infrastructure and also the violence against our fellow healthcare workers. Not just the Palestinians, all humanitarian aid workers are under relentless attack. We are witnessing the complete destruction of the healthcare system in Gaza and the gross neglect of basic human rights, services, and care of patients. The occupation, as well as the US, who is Israel's biggest ally, continue to ignore and disregard international law. We have to continue to support the people of and healthcare workers of Gaza because their healthcare system is on the brink of complete destruction should the Zionist Israeli forces be allowed to continue.
To ensure that we do justice to this vital week, BBC News has decided to split this feature, declaring it as part one. Stay tuned to the VOC airwaves for more thought-provoking perspectives, which will be contained in part two. For VOC News, I'm Kotha Sambo.